Good to see everyone here this evening. We're going to look this evening from the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, and of course you have to consider the context of the book of Ezekiel. He lived at the very end of the people of Israel. He was taken into captivity by the Babylonians with a number of others. There are three different times the Babylonians came and took captives back from Israel, back to Babylon. He was in the second carrying away, they call it. And he was a prophet then. He was going to serve as a Levite, a priest, and he was of the tribe, but he became a prophet in the land of Babylon because he could not serve at the temple. So he became a prophet of God. He was called to be a prophet of God. And in doing so, he was there to explain to the people of Israel, now in Babylonian captivity, what was going to happen, why ultimately, a few years after they had come there and were taken there, that the Babylonians were going to go back and God was going to allow them to conquer the entire land, conquer the city of Jerusalem, and even burn down and destroy and loot the temple. And so Ezekiel was telling them all the time that this was going to happen. And of course it did during the time of the prophet Ezekiel. But also he was there to tell them that if they would be faithful during this captivity, that God would be with them. He'd take care of them and ultimately return them and their descendants, if they didn't live long enough to go back, he would return them to their land and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and reestablish the worship of God there. But God cared for his people, and that's what Ezekiel is writing about in chapter 34. Even though they had been led astray, and then they fell away from God so very often, into idolatry. But God still loved them. He wanted them to be able to have the life that he had promised them from Moses all the way back when he gave the law. But the unfaithful leaders had caused them to be led astray. And when they did that, God was going to punish the whole bunch of them because of their dedication not to God but to idolatry and the ways of man. And so there is a void left there. If you read Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10, how that the false prophets had led them astray and led them into idolatry and all of these other things. And he talks about how the shepherds that were over the flock didn't watch out for the flock. They watched out for themselves. And they slaughtered the best of the herds and the flocks to have food for themselves, and rather than taking care of God's people. And so we look at that and realize that this prophecy in Ezekiel 34 is for the purpose of telling them and giving them an understanding and a blessing that God was going to look out for them if they would remain faithful even while they were in captivity. And so the principle for us is also there, that God will forgive us when we repent. If we stray away, if we're in Christ and we come back and we repent, God will forgive us also, and he will take care of us. So Ezekiel describes in chapter 34 God's true care over his people. He says he will gather them that were dispersed among the people in the world. He's going to seek them out. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 11, the first 10 verses talks about how they had gone astray and how the false teachers and the false shepherds of Israel had led them astray. And they were being punished because of that. But in chapter 34, verse 11, it says, "For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they have been scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. So he promised them, even though as Ezekiel is writing at this time, he says, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back, because if you're faithful to God, that he's going to take care of you and bring you back and your family back to their land. And so he was going to seek for them in kindness and tenderness, because by the time this was going to happen, they, in a sense, as we might say sometimes, a criminal has put in prison, he's let go because he's paid his debt to society. In a way, that's what they had done. They had to spend 70 years in captivity. And God then, when they turned back to God, he brought them back to their land. And this is as opposed to the rulers who had robbed them and scattered them. In chapter 34 and verse 2, it says there, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who feed themselves, and should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and you clothe yourself with the wool, and you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Now, he's not talking here about the physical shepherds who were taking care of actual sheep. He's talking about the leaders of the people of Israel. Not the Pharisees, that would be later on, but the priests and the priestly tribe and others who were directors and leaders and teachers of them. They allowed them and taught them things that were wrong, to turn away from God. And so they are the ones, as if they had eaten the best things and taken the best things for themselves and left the flock to take care of themselves, which was not possible. But we have the contrast there, because Ezekiel is telling them, when God looks down on you, and at this time, at the end of the captivity, he's going to bring you back, but you have to be willing to return. You have to be willing to repent and come back to God. Well, Psalms 23, of course, is the contrast to this, where David said, The Lord is my shepherd, as opposed to the shepherds of the flock over Israel during that time that led them astray. Jesus is going to be the true guide and the true shepherd. In John 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so Ezekiel, in a sense, is giving a dual prophecy here of the return of the Israelite nation physically from Babylonian captivity back to their land after 70 years of captivity, but also for us in Christ today, that our true shepherd is Christ, and he is the one that guides us and takes care of us. He also will make ample provision for their needs, as opposed to the shepherds who had taken all the best things for themselves. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 14, he says, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. And there they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them to lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. In other words, he's going to take care of those who are unable to take care of themselves and bring them back. And he says there, using symbolic language, he says, I will feed them in the best places, in the good pasture, and in the fold in the mountains. And he says they will lie down in good fold. In other words, they will be protected enough to lie down and rest and sleep because the shepherd is there to watch over them. And again, the same, the physical was for them, but the spiritual idea is for us also. As we are faithful to God in Christ, he's going to be there as our shepherd to watch over us and take care of us. And God finds them famished and dispirited and wounded by those that had led them astray. But he's going to take care of them. He says, I will feed them in good pasture. And even when we sin and we turn away from God, when we repent and come back to Him, He's going to forgive and bless us and watch over us. He also will provide for them a place of safety. When the Babylonian armies came under Nebuchadnezzar and they finally took the city of Jerusalem, they tore it down. They burned the houses of most of the people. They looted and burned and destroyed the temple and took those gold things and all those things back to Babylon with them. And so God had warned them that was going to happen. But they didn't listen. They listened to the false teachers and false prophets and such that led them astray. But now He says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring you back to these good places and give you the pasture that you need. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus warned about the false shepherds and the false teachers who would come in and be like ravening wolves among the sheep. And so it's a recurring theme throughout the Bible. There's the good shepherd, and then there's the others that led them astray. And of course, the good shepherd is the one that's going to give them their pasture, the feeding properly, and the protection for their sleep and for their rest and for all the blessings that He's going to give. And He doesn't just stop protecting His people physically, but spiritually also, to guide them God's way. And so that's the idea of this good shepherd, that ultimately Christ would be the best of all. He would be the great and the good shepherd. He also will deal with them according to their individual merit. Chapter 34, beginning at verse 17. He says, as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between the sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk the clear waters, that you must foul and residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself would judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with the side and the shoulder and butted the weak with the ones with your horns and scattered them abroad. Because this is what you, the false shepherds, the evil shepherds, have scattered the sheep and destroyed them. You foul their water, you foul their food, you've run them away. And He says, but I'm going to take care of them. And He says there, this is what has been done. Verse 22 then says, therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between the sheep and the sheep. So He says, the Lord's going to take care of you. He's going to be the judge, and no longer will these false teachers and false prophets and these evil shepherds that had led them astray, no longer would they have the power to be a guide to them. And so God's love is going to be given to all. It's going to be extended to all. But not all are going to receive it. Some are not going to receive it because they have rejected the whole idea that God is their Father, that God wants to take care of them. And He is going to send the Good Shepherd eventually to be the perfect shepherd, to be the guide of all. But God's love is also part of His wisdom and His justice. God understands the difference between the evil and the good, and He will divide them. Verse 22, He says, therefore, I will save my flock, in other words, those who are faithful and those who remain so, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between the sheep and the sheep. Now, there were good sheep and there were bad sheep. He will make a distinction between them. Now you go over to Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus talks about the coming of the judgment. And He says that the Lord will come and sit on His throne and divide the sheep from the goats. those who are faithful will come home to be with him eternally, and those who are not, they will be cast out. And so Ezekiel is saying kind of the same thing. Now he's talking specifically to the ones of the Israelites who are now in captivity, and writing to them, telling them, hold on and be faithful, because if you do, God's going to take care of you. Also, the power of God never loses its strength, and also will continue to sanctify because of God's mercy and love and grace. And so he freely extends to them. In fact, if you go back and read in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah prophesied, and Ezekiel became a prophet towards the end of the time of Jeremiah. Their time overlapped a few years. The difference between the fact that Jeremiah was left behind in Israel, he didn't go into captivity, and Ezekiel did. But the idea that they were going to be there a good while, Jeremiah prophesied they would be there 70 years. And so Jeremiah told the people, when you get there, you turn back to God and don't pine away worrying about when you're going back, because God will take care of that. But you go there, you establish your home, you take care of your own, your family, and then turn back to God and worship him. And God will leave you there for an extended period of time, for 70 years, but then he's going to bring you back home, which is exactly what he did. If you read in Daniel chapter 9, at the first of that passage, Daniel was looking over his people and thinking about them, and he began to study and to pray. And he says, I was reading in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah said there would be 70 years of captivity. And Daniel suddenly realizes we're almost at the end of that 70 years. And you read on through Daniel 9, 10, and 11, and 12. And he explains, as the angel came and explained to him what things were going to happen to bring that about. But he also knows the secret evil that is done, and doesn't forget the good that we do also. And he would not forget the ones who had done well. Now, there were thousands of the people in Israel that were taken captive who themselves had not been evil. They had not done bad things or turned away from God. But because the majority did, they also were taken into captivity. And sometimes that happens to people. They do right, and sometimes evil things still happen to them. But God did not forsake those people. And that's why he sent Ezekiel and other prophets to them, like Daniel, to be an example, to tell them and teach them and guide them to do the will of God, even when they were in captivity, when they could have turned away from God, but they didn't. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul there says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, God will not forget when we do right. He knows if we're trying to serve him and be faithful, and he wants us to do right and continue to do so. He will not forget those who have rejected him, turned away and turned to evil. They will be properly punished at the right time. But those who are faithful, if we're trying to be faithful to God, even though we very often fall short, as we're going to do, he's not going to turn away from us. He's not going to forget that we have tried our best on many occasions to serve him and to be faithful to him. In Psalms 139 and verse 4, David said there, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, the Lord knows it altogether. David said, there's nothing I can say, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing I can think, no place I can go that God does not know. And we have to understand that. I'm sure many people in Israel who were taken into captivity, and some of the prophets mentioned the idea, they must have thought, well, why has God forsaken us? Why has this happened to us? And Ezekiel and Jeremiah both wrote very specifically about why this was, in Jeremiah's sake, was time was going to happen. In Ezekiel's time, it had happened already. And so God sent them to explain, if you will be faithful and you'll come back to me, even though you suffer during this time, I'm going to take care of you. Well, someone said one time, it is better to fall into the hands of God and be at His mercy than for the most impartial earthly judge. God's not going to forget that we've done right. He is not going to forget, and He always is going to judge righteously and zealously and faithfully, but also with mercy and grace and love toward us if we are faithful to Him. And the same principle was what Ezekiel was telling them. But He also will, and He does provide for His people, and He provided the Good Shepherd Himself. And so we go back to Ezekiel 34 and verse 23. He says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will make my covenant with peace with them, and cause the wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. So he says, I am going to bring you back. I'm going to bring back the perfect ruler. And of course, this was not just bringing them back to their land physically. This is a prophecy of Christ. And when you recognize probably verse 24, it says, I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. Well, Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy of the return of King David. Just as John the Baptist was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the return of Elijah. Christ was the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the return of King David. And he says that that's what was going to happen. And he would bring that perfect servant and the perfect king and ruler and perfect shepherd to be with them. Verse 23 says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Now notice, he says he's going to have one shepherd over them. Not a whole large part of shepherds that one says this and another says this, but one. And not only that, for all the people, there's going to be one shepherd, not two or three or four or five or whatever it might be. In other words, they're going to be brought together under this shepherd. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul explains there that when Christ came and died on the cross, He took out the previous law, our laws, governing Jew and Gentile. And He brought them both together under one law and under one Savior. And so that's part of this prophecy here. And so the one shepherd was going to be the shepherd king. As King David was, he's also going to be the shepherd. Verse 24, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And you go over to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. And what does it say? The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So Jesus was a descendant. He was the perfect one to come to be the ruler, the king, but also the shepherd, as David was also a shepherd first and also then the king. He would be the fulfillment. There are many shepherds in Ezekiel's time that were unfaithful. They were heartless and sometimes even cruel to the people. And so God was going to take care of them and in His way and judge them appropriately, but He's going to take care of His people. But the one good shepherd is going to be beyond the reach of anyone else. He will sacrifice His life for the sheep. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself, that I may take it up again. So Jesus was the good shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep, and He was willing to give everything on our behalf. If you turn over to John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them unto me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of His hand. I and my Father are one. So Jesus said, I am this good shepherd that Ezekiel and Isaiah and David and all of these others had prophesied about. that no one is going to take my sheep out of my hand. The rule of the Good Shepherd also would bring them to a closer and personal relationship with God. Again, Ezekiel 34, verse 24. He says, "And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." So, in other words, I will be their God. Now, he already was in that sense, but if they'll be faithful, he's going to bless them because of making that decision. Under his leadership, the evil would be changed to good, and the perfect shepherd would come along. The government of the divine prince is not merely legal and social, as it was mainly under the law of Moses, but also it's going to be intensely and supremely spiritual. In other words, spiritual aspects of the law of Moses, of course, but that was not the primary view for them. They simply had to keep the law, and they would be spiritual before God. But in the new law that was going to come, it was going to be a spiritual law, and that would be the supreme importance of it. He also will endow them with an unprecedented amount of blessings. Ezekiel 34:25, he says, "I will make a covenant of peace with them and will cause the wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods." In other words, I'm going to take care of them. This is a prophecy of the coming of Christ and the coming of the church, where we have the place of safety in Christ. Now, physically speaking, we still live in a world that sometimes has dangers and problems and troubles. But spiritually, he's going to be with us throughout our time upon the earth. It will be a time of prosperity when this perfect shepherd comes. And chapter 34, verse 26, he says, "I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause the showers to come down in their season, and there shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them." So again, that's a double fulfillment. Bringing back the people of Israel from Babylonian captivity, as he said he would do, which he did. And also for us, breaking the bonds of sin, which we are entrapped in when we sin against God. And by the faith and obedience to the gospel and continued faith in him, we can be forgiven. And so he's going to give us that blessing. Also, there is the imperishable renown. In other words, people will know about it. Verse 29, "I will raise up them from the garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, or bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore." Israel was ashamed that they were in captivity. They had been overcome by the Babylonians, and they wanted to go home all the time they were there. And God allowed it to happen. But he was going to give them, as he says, a garden of renown. In other words, everyone would know when they came back to their land that God had done this for them. But also there is the union with the divine, which again is both a fulfillment for them in Israel at the time to go back to their land, but also for us. Verse 30, "Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord." And so we look at the divine care that God promised to give to them. Yes, he was going to take care of them, return them to their land, because he cared for them, but also for us. The divine care is the source of comfort for the afflicted. It is the hope of forgiveness for those who would repent. It is the strength and hope to those who are diligent in God's will the best we can, that even though we fall short sometimes, the grace of God will forgive. And God's care will always be over his people. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus, in a quote from the Old Testament there, is quoted as saying, "I will in no wise fail you, neither will I in any wise forsake you." He's not going to turn his back on us. We might turn our back upon him, but in doing so, we reject him. But if we'll come back and repent, he'll forgive. That's why Jesus gave the Great Commission, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So he promised to Israel in slavery in Babylon that he's going to bring them back, and he did. He promises us that he will bring us back from the slavery of sin if we will repent and believe and obey and follow him. This evening, if there is a need in your life, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, Jesus calls us to himself every day we live. If you need to come, won't you do so now as we stand, as we sing.